morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1. We read this morning. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. As we do, I want you to consider the Church of America. And I want you to consider what it is today compared to what it was about 100 years ago. Today, as I look at the church in America, I don't find like it was 100 years ago. Not that I lived back then or any of you. I find it today very weak and ineffective as a whole. Church of America has become weak and effective in America compared to the role she had 100 years ago. No longer is the United States defined by the moral, biblical principles that it used to have. No longer does a man consider God's Word before they make a decision. I watched some of the really old TV shows. One of the ones is Gunsmoke. I watched part of Gunsmoke the other day. And guess what they talked about on national TV? The Bible. Talked about the Bible. They didn't talk about Jesus Christ being their Savior, but they talked about the moral principles in the Bible. There is a fear of God, an understanding of Him, and the moral principles that He put out, and that was the standard of life, but that is no more. I think there's several reasons for this. One is the devaluation of religion in America. Atheists have done a wonderful job of pulling God out of everything they possibly can. They look at the kids today and can't figure out why schools are so corrupt. But when you've taken God completely out of the picture, even just to leave 6 of the 10 commandments, although they kind of all fit together, and have a moral standard, a moral code for them that they will choose to obey or disobey, but some sort of standard for them to look to, it's no wonder that the world's philosophies, the socialist philosophies, the mockery by the media of Christianity, as backwards, as old, as so strange to our culture. When you look at television today, you find no morality. There's amoral. There's no morality whatsoever. They have no consciousness of saying, hey, this is what's right or what's wrong. There's no discussion about what's right or wrong. Why? Because they've been taught in the colleges and universities, there is no absolute truth. It's whatever is good for you is good for you. It doesn't have to be right in somebody else's eyes. There's compromise in local churches, teaching practical, convenient truths to help you in daily life, which isn't bad, but ignoring the scriptures themselves, the basis of it, the doctrine which is the basis of why we should do what we should do. Churches are embracing sin. They're accepting sin, and then they're embracing it. They're teaching a social gospel. A gospel which teaches, well, God loves everyone so much, He just doesn't have the heart to send anybody to hell. And what you really need to do in your life is just live the best way that you can. Make sure that you're showing love and tolerance for everybody. And then helping other people. Do what you can to help other people. And God will let you into heaven. There's such a compromise that has caused the even embracing of sin. You have a compromise which brings forth, contrary to the scripture, women to the pulpit as pastors and preachers. The Bible speaks against that. It is always the male. Why? Well, because that's the way God designed it. Let me ask you a question this way. Why isn't it that the man doesn't get pregnant and have children? He's smarter than that. No, that's not why. It's because God designed her body to do that, not his body to do that. Is it fair? Has nothing to do with what's fair. That's the way God designed it. He designed the church to run under the authority that He designed. Does that mean women have no part and can't do anything and encourage others? No, it doesn't mean that. But because of compromise, well, you know, Paul, this is the argument, Paul was sexist. In other words, this isn't really God's word. This is man's word. If this is just man's word, we don't have to abide by it. So there are churches that even call themselves Baptist. They take the Bible, put it away, and are happy to tell you convenient truths. Compromise has taken place, and so the church is weak and effective. They take the Bible and His commands and make them optional or suggestions. Now let me pull it down to you personally and ask you if you are weak and ineffective. And let me ask it this way. I believe that one of the reasons that many churches in America, most churches in America, are weak and ineffective in their ministries is because the members of those churches are weak and ineffective. It happens when Christ is weak and ineffective in their life. How much of your life belongs to Christ? Is it 1/7 of your life? I say that because you come to church on Sunday. Is the rest of the week yours? Well, God, I've done my duty. Look at your checkbook. Look at the way you spend your time. How much time during the week do you spend in God's Word? Do you spend in prayer? Do you spend serving Him? The things that you do, the nice things that you do you do it because you're a nice guy or nice girl? Or do you do it because you want to honor God? Where is your heart? The biggest part of Christ being strong and effective in your life, in my life, is our attitude of Christ. Our attitude of Christ. We need to have the attitude of being strong and courageous. We need to be strong against sin and courageous to do God's will. That's what we need to do. It's real easy to go with the crowd. Why do you think so many kids will follow the crowd and what they wear and what they listen to? You want to know a secret? All you adults are doing the same thing. You are affected by what the world does. What is the world watching on TV? Or the movies they watch? How are they dressing? How do you dress in public? Like everybody else, don't you? For the most part. I'm not saying that you have to go around wearing a tie everywhere you go. But you are influenced by the world. The thing is, we need to be careful how much influence of that is cultural and how much of that has to do with being not Christ-like. Your attitude and determination needs to be that of strength and courage. This morning, we're going to look here at Joshua. We're going to begin a series here of being strong and courageous in our Christian life. And we're going to do that through the life of Joshua. Now, the Bible was written years and years ago. These events are historical. And the addressee here is Joshua, not you. But the applications can be drawn to you. And the reason we can make those applications is because we can find those applications in the New Testament as well. The first I want you to see here. That's what I got. First I want you to see here is to be strong and courageous in God's gifts. In verses 1 through 6, God says to be strong and courageous, verse 6, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Moses is dead. That's a nice way to start the book, isn't it? Moses is dead, a servant of the Lord. And it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. That doesn't mean he just appeared. That was his dad's name, N-U-N. Joshua was Moses' assistant for many years. Joshua had even led battles. Joshua was now, though, having Moses dead, in charge of over 1.5 million people. You think he might have been a little nervous? Moses tells him, go over this Jordan River to the land that I've given to these people. Now, remember when Joshua and Caleb had gone in some 40 years before, they had gone and looked through out the land. They come back out and they said, them people are big and they're mighty and they're strong. There's 12 of them that had gone in. Joshua and Caleb were two of them. And they report this back. Now, the 10 other spies had said, they're big and strong and ugly, and there's no way we can take that land. Joshua and Caleb said, they are big, strong, and ugly, but God will help us conquer. They were strong and courageous, but because the people said, oh, no, we can't do that, they were weak and ineffective. They were weak and cowardly. God said, fine, if you don't trust me enough to do what I've told you to do, you're going to wander the wilderness for 40 years. And that whole generation died off. This is the following generation. Joshua is in charge now of all these people. He's told in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Why? Because of God's gifts. God's gifts. Notice here, he says, it is the land that I'm giving to them. He says that in verse 2. He says it also here in verse 6. I swore to the fathers to give to them. It's a gift. I am giving you this gift. So be strong and courageous. You know, God's given you gifts to be strong and courageous as well. Observe here, it says, I've given it to you, it is a gift, the land, I'm giving it to them. He tells them the extent, how much of the land he's given in verses 3 and 4, all the way from the great Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea, the land of Syria where the Hittites were. He says, that's all yours. They weren't too excited about it the first time, but now they're going in, and God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. I'm giving it to you, the whole extent of it. And in verse 5 and 6, he tells them, I'm going to give you the means, the ability to do it. Verse 5, it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. When you go in, and you go to conquer someplace, you're going to win. Nobody else, all your enemies, there's not even a chance for them. Now that's pretty encouraging, isn't it? God is gifting them with this. That's a good reason to be strong and courageous. Somebody better get that. All right. You can be strong and courageous because of God's gifts to you. Consider that. God's gift to you as a believer, the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. The Bible says, don't be afraid of those who can come about and kill you with the sword. Don't be afraid of those that could take your physical life. You ought to be afraid of the one who can take your soul. You think about in this life, how is it that you can be strong and courageous? Because God has loved you so much that He's given His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that you, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, that you are promised to be forever with Him, even if you die. Let me explain this to you. I used to work at Kmart years ago, worked in security. And I would run out there and catch thieves. Now, did you know thieves could fight? Did you know thieves could kill? Did you know some of them thieves are really big? I remember one stop in particular. This guy, he must have worked out and all that. And it was only me. It was me and one other guy that was on the cameras. And I had to go make the stop. So I go up to the front and I wait outside the doors. And I hear on the radio, okay, he's out. There's two sets of doors. He's out the first set of doors. I'm praying now. This guy was huge. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, his life insurance paid up. This guy, if he wanted, he could have knocked my block off. And he comes out, and I approach him. I probably should tell you how the rest of the story goes. I guess I will. I pulled out, we had to show our badge. I pulled out my badge. I looked at him, I said, "Sir, I'm with store security. You need to come back in with me." And you know what he did then. He turned around and he did what I told him. I handcuffed him because I was still nervous. And then we walked the back of the store. You know, I was a little nervous, afraid, but I couldn't let my fear keep me from being strong and courageous. I went, not physically strong, with my attitude strong. I just had to go up to him and do my job. How could I do that? Well, honestly, knowing God was on my side, knowing that if something did happen to me, I'd be in heaven, it helped out. You could be strong and courageous knowing that God has gifted you with eternal life if you've accepted His Son as your Savior. Well, you can... Oh, I don't need to do that. You can be strong and courageous in God's success. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and courageous that you may... only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which the Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left hand, to the right hand, or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, next week, we're going to look at verses 7 and 8 a little more because I think it's very needful for us. But in regards to reasons why I should be strong and courageous, look here, he says, you will be prosperous wherever you go. In verse 5 again, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. We see strong strength and courage can be in God's success. It's God's success. In verse 8, it says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you shall observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. God makes the promise of success. God has made this promise of success to Joshua so he could be strong and courageous. Do you have promises in your life that you could be strong and successful? Well, this promise here is tied in with God's Word. I want you to see that's a recurring theme, especially in the Old Testament, also in the New. Deuteronomy 29:9 says, carefully follow the terms of this covenant, the Old Testament law, that you may prosper in everything you do. In Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. You see, that's God that gives success. In Psalm 24, verses 4 and 5, it says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord. and vindication from God, his Savior. The blessing comes from where? From the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Observe the Lord your God, what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways, keep his decrees and commands, his laws, his requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do, wherever you go." Over and over again, you see it is the Lord who does the prospering, who gives you the success. You can be strong and courageous in the Lord who gives success. Think of John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Jesus refers to himself, likens himself as a grapevine. He says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit." If any man abides or remains in me, has that relationship that he should have with me, he will bear much fruit, spiritual fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can be strong and courageous because God gives success. Think about what God gives success to you. God gives you success over sin, over the power of sin. Book of Romans says that sin no longer has mastery over you. Why? Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross and came back to life, when you put your trust in him, he broke the power of sin, so that now any temptation that comes your way is common to man. It's not just singled out to you. You're not the only one with those troubles. You're not the only one with those temptations. You're not the only one that fails at those temptations. When those temptations come, you know that God is faithful and will give you a way of escape. He always will. That doesn't necessarily mean you'll always follow it. But he always gives you. You can be strong against sin because God has promised to give a way of escape. He has given you the ability to overcome. Through him. We need to be strong and courageous in our Christian lives, knowing that God has given us great gifts, and knowing that it is God who gives us success. Not necessarily success in the way that we define it. Sometimes we might come about and we might say to ourselves, "Well, look, I've not been very successful. Here I've worked really hard on my life, on my job, and look, all I have is a you go." Are those still even around, or have they all rusted out by now? They're still around, all right. All I've got is a you go and a shack to live in. And I worked hard. God is not making me successful. How do you think God wants to make you successful? In the foolish, worldly, humanistic sort of way? Or in a way that brings glory to him? Sometimes we ask and don't receive because our desires are purely selfish. God does tell us to give, to ask him the desires of our heart, and he gives them as long as they fit within his plan and his will for your life. Your 5-year-old kid is asking for a gun. Do you buy them a real live gun? No, because that's a foolish thing to do. Why? Because they'll hurt somebody. Sometimes we ask for a gun. Not necessarily a gun itself, but some other thing that God knows would not be good for us in the long run. So sometimes we're like the 5-year-old that has a tantrum and says, "Well, God must not love me because he's not giving me what I want." You need to align your heart up with God and see the success that he gives you that way. We need to be strong and courageous in our lives, knowing that God gives gifts to us, has given us gifts. We need to be strong and courageous, knowing that God gives success. Finally, we need to be strong and courageous in God's presence. It says here in verse 9, "For have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage." Now, here is the third time that Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. Do you think maybe God's trying to tell him something? You want to know a secret? In verse 18, the people look at Joshua and they tell him, "Be strong and courageous." If you go back into Deuteronomy, you know what you would find? Moses tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." I kind of wonder if Joshua had a tendency not to be strong and courageous. Wouldn't that sound maybe like us at times? God says, "I am with you wherever you go." When he says that, think about what that means, that God is with you. That doesn't mean that God is like that great friend that you have when you do something silly that they laugh at you. He is there to help you. He is there to encourage you, to strengthen you, to protect you, to guide you, to correct you, to help you. Even as a best friend who is right there to help you when you have some sort of need, that's who God is. In fact, we know now that it being after Pentecost that the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus is in you. He says, "If you remain in me and I in you." Jesus makes a promise in Hebrews chapter 12, verse chapter 13, verse 5, says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But my land, have you got it down? You can be strong and courageous because God's right there. He is right here. Is life tough? You're tougher, not because of who you are, but because of God. Are you scared? You ever been scared? I know you've been scared. You ever had a dentist appointment? You've been scared. You know what? You can be strong and courageous. There's an amazing parallel here I want you to see. It's an amazing parallel. As I look at this story, I see that God tells Joshua that he's giving Joshua and Israel certain land. There's a task for him. Right? Go to Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Guess what? God has given you, as a believer, a task. "You will be my witnesses," he says. So look at Joshua, verses 1 through 5. God tells Joshua the extent of the ability that God is giving to him. He says, "No man will be able to stand against you." He says, "I want you to go and go all the way, you will have the property all the way from Euphrates, all the way down to the Mediterranean Sea. It's yours." He gives the whole extent of what he wants him to have. You know, when I look at Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that God has given you the extent and power that he wants you to have, that he wants the gospel to go. To Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "I will give you my Holy Spirit, which will empower you to do this." God tells Joshua to be faithful to God's word. Then he will be successful. Be prosperous. Successful. Well, Jesus said that his church would be successful in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That's success. God said that the believers are going to be successful in spreading God's word and having an effect. Finally, God tells Joshua that he is with him wherever he goes. It's a great promise to have, to know that God is right there with you wherever you go. Well, Jesus said the same thing to the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. It says you're going to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything which I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. The promises that Joshua was given are promises you were given. Isn't that an amazing coincidence? Or design, shall I say? We become weak and ineffective in our Christian life because we don't allow God to be strong in our life, to be effective in our life. And when we don't trust Him the way that Joshua did, we're going to see He does something that's stupid. He marches around the wall of an enemy city. That doesn't make any sense. But God told him to do it, and he believed God. And when he did what God told him to do, what God said would happen, happened. Isn't it amazing that God does exactly what he says he will do when we are strong and courageous and put our trust in him and actually do those things he has told us to do? God works that way, you know. Up at camp, there's a thing called rappelling. And up at the top of the tower up there, a kid stands strapped up facing the tower. His back is to the utter drop into the unknown. And so he stands there on the edge, holding on for desperate life onto a rope. And as they hold on to that rope, Brother Phil Tilson says, okay, now just lean back and start walking down. How many of you, be tied to a rope, will stand at the top of a three-story building and walk off the ledge of it? I've done it. I mean, Casey, you did it, right, Casey? Casey and Charity, they did it. Did you do it? Sierra, did you do it? You did it. All right, I was going to call you a chicken. Was it scary? Was it scary at first? A little bit? No, Charity, it was easy. It was a breeze. She didn't care. Sierra, how long did you cry before you went down? It takes a lot of faith in the rope. It takes a lot of faith in the people that are saying, look, it's no problem. You have to be strong and courageous over top of your fear. As Christians, you're going to face situations, just life situations. You need to be strong and courageous. It may not even make sense. But you say, God, I know your promises. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be strong in this. As hard and difficult as it is to do it. There are people out there who need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you're weak and ineffective to share with them about Jesus Christ or to invite them to church. You're scared. They might say no. Well, the good news is here in America, they just say no. If you're overseas, they kill you. But here in America, they just say no. They might get mad at you. Are you strong and courageous? Can you take that step backwards. Knowing that if something failed, down you go. But relying on the almighty power of God to strengthen and encourage you. I want you to have seen that Joshua, while he was told here three times to be strong and courageous, that you need to be strong and courageous in your life. And whatever you're facing, there may be pain to it, some fear, nervousness, a little bit of anxiety, but be strong, trusting God, having full faith in what God's able to do, knowing that He will do what's best for you. Be strong and courageous. Heavenly Father,